Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in. It's Monday night, and hey, on behalf of Melba and all the great RE team, thanks for tuning in. We never take for granted that you're a part of our family, and we look forward to being with you every Monday night, and we've got a great show tonight. There's a lot of questions I'm sure are going to come up. It'll be a great discussion. We have with us a very special guest. We're going to bring him to you in just a minute, but in the meantime, you know about our team. You know about our show. You write about it. We read about it. We're thankful that God is raising your expectations in many areas and in many ways in your life. You've shared many things with us about this, and we're so excited about that. We're all born-again Christians. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We know that he died on the cross, and we know he did it on purpose to wipe out our sins, to pay the price for our sins, and he's coming again someday to collect us, to be with him forever. And those that have gone on ahead, they'll be waiting for us. So it's going to be a great time to be a Christian and to belong to him. So we hope you know the Lord is your Savior. We hope you're tuning in tonight because you know that he loves you and his grace is beyond all of our expectations. It's great to know the Lord. Hey, we got a great team tonight. You know the team. I always go through it for you because one week somebody always asks about it. Who are those people again? And so we're going to start again very quickly. First of all, this is my wife right here. You all know this. This is Melba, and we got married last week. We were all talking about it, and we're really excited about this. Yeah, round of applause. Thanks, Steph.
So Paul started it.
Yeah, that's right. Paul started. Way to go, Paul. And we were married by the Apostle Paul right here on our group. Paul took care of everything for us. And the neat thing is that we're actually getting moved into things that we're supposed to get moved into. And wow, we're going to get there. It's difficult, but day by day, piece by piece, we keep raising our expectations that we're getting there, aren't we? Yeah, we're going to make it, aren't we? Yeah, going to make it. So this is Melba, and we're coming to you right here to start the program tonight. It's so great to be with you. And on behalf of TJ and all of BBS Radio TV, we're all glad you're here, too. They are also. They're simply the best. So if we go to the West Coast, you all know that very much. We go all the way to the West. We have Dr. Paul Hall, who we find in Lompoc, California. Lompoc is right next to Santa Barbara on the
right. West Good Coast. Good job.
Right. And I am on a roll, Paul. So, and Paul, I want to thank you for our ceremony last weekend. It was beautiful, wonderful.
My joy.
Just the greatest. We've been friends 55 years, and what a wonderful time we had. It was such a blessing, and we're so thankful that Paul is here. Paul's a retired pastor. He's a Bible teacher. He's a writer, a reader, a helper of all men and women. This guy is just about the best you're ever going to meet, and we go back so many years that they're still looking for our tracks. They found them at the south side of Mount Sinai, where we were rocking around Sinai at that time. But in any event, Paul, it's good to see you, brother, again.
Good to see you, too. Thanks.
Thanks, bro. Mm-hmm. All right. And if we move back, all of us together, three of us make our way back across the nation, we end up in Dalton, Georgia. Dalton, Georgia, just there in the great state of Georgia, the Peach State. And we find two people that are peaches, both of them. Very, very special people. And that is Craig and Stephanie Thayer. And Stephanie's on the left. Stephanie, Mrs. Thayer there. She is a health and wellness coach, a specialty coach in that area. But even more than that now, she is a great counselor, a biblical counselor of women, helping ladies all across the nation. She has a website, so I'm going to ask you to go with us now to our site and find hers. That's bbsradio.com/raising expectations. bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And you'll find all of us there, kind of our stories a little bit there. We're going to be updating some new things coming to you in the new year, you'll be seeing. But you'll find there that Stephanie's website, Wellness with Steph, you'll also find on the website her site, Live Your Life Out Loud. And that's an exciting way to think about it, because you can't wait to share what God's doing in your life. Your life just magnifies Him and you live your life out loud. Look on her website. You'll find about how she helps ladies, and ladies check in with her from across the nation. I know my daughter loves to follow her up in the great state of Ohio. So you'll want to check in and see what she's up to. Check the things that she puts on YouTube or on the Facebook also, and Instagram, I'm sure both of those, because she has some great thoughts that she brings out, and they make you think, they make you ponder, they make you wonder what God's doing, and she brings that out first and foremost, and she has some great thoughts about things that are happening. So you want to find out and see what she's up to there. So live your life out loud. When you turn on her website, say it really loud. Hey, I made it. Here's her website, and you'll be with them. And right to her left, you find Dr. Craig Thayer, her husband, who she's done such a great job on. This guy's one of the neatest guys you'll ever meet in the world. This guy is a brother to all of us. He loves the Lord. He's a trauma surgeon. He's used his hands under the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God to save lives over and over as a trauma surgeon. Maybe you saw him this week and some of the things he put up. Happy birthday. And he came to a special time. And it was great to see your picture just a few years ago. This is a fun group of people. The Lord's love just shines through them. So look for us all there and go to our site first. And then we're going to start putting some of those on our site, hopefully on the new year. So new things coming up that way. But you want to know about Craig. He is not only a trauma surgeon. He's a trauma surgeon that helps people with his wife in missions work. He's been to Uganda helping people. They've been to the Caribbean. They've helped people all over the world. You can imagine the way it is when he comes in. Just like we saw a few weeks ago when Dr. Pamela and her husband Scott there in Uganda, and they have a lot of things in common that way, the way they bless lives. So also, he has a great book out. You want to look on the site there, Saved, Finding God in the Ordinary Things of Life. It's always great to see what God does in the ordinary things, because the extraordinary sometimes are just made even greater when you know he's been with you all along the way. One trauma surgeon's true accounts of the miracles of his life. Boy, this is a fun book to read. It's a great read. It's an encouraging read, and you want to read it to see what God can do in your life, because you know what? He wants to work in the little things like you've shared back to us each and every day and each and every week. So look for that book, Saved, with Dr. Craig Thayer, Finding God in the Ordinary. And just above it, you'll find the third edition of my book, Legitimate Faith, Producing Authentic Hope. And that simply stands for faith means forsaking all, I trust Him. And that's the greatest thing we can do. It produces an authentic hope. So you want to find it there with a foreword by Zig Ziglar, who is one of my special mentors in life. So moving right along there, you can see if we're back in Georgia, we're going to head across the states there. And as you know, we're going to head through Alabama. We're going to head through Mississippi. We'll go through the north side of Louisiana, fly a little lower, start your descent, and land in the great metropolis of McKinney. Actually, it's Dallas, but you fly over McKinney getting there, and then you're going to run into one of our favorite guys in the world. This is absolutely Pastor Ron Greer, who is with Man in the Mirror, a case and an area director with him there in Texas. And he has been he's done so many things in his life, and he's turned them all over to God. And now God, through all those things from his life, is blessing all of our lives. And we love Ron. He's a great pastor. He's also a great man of God in helping men to discover why things are happening in their lives the way they are, because God is at work in the midst of each of them. So it's great to see you, Ron. Welcome back. It's good to have you back with us. We don't find a greater group of people anywhere in the world than this group that God has blessed us with to be together. That's right. And that's exactly right. We got them going. And
if
you know
you
what?
Cannot see. Ron is kissing himself, just if you want to understand that.
And you know, you ought to try to do this intro sometimes with these guys. It's a lot of fun. You really enjoy being with us. And many of you said to me, Pastor Joe, I love being with this group on Monday nights. I look forward to it. They're my extended family, and every week I look forward to being with them. So, Ron, put a kiss on one of the arms for other people. They're all checking in with you. It's good to have you with us tonight. So tonight we've got a very special guest with us. It's somebody you know well. We could bring in different people each week. We bring a lot of different folks in, but we have prayerfully thought about this. We've developed a team we call the Raising Expectations Family. And this is a group of people who are just incredible in their endeavors of life and in their line of work in life from what they've learned in their endeavors. And those endeavors give strength, direction, and guidance to you. And so we built a team up. And you know some of those that you've had. Tonight we have with us two of our special people, Christy, and of course her husband, Frank Roberson, the founder and leader of Black Rhino Protection Agency. And he's been an investigator, counterintelligence threat analyst. And today is a special time in the nation. One of you wrote into me, I'm trying to remember the text. He said, boy, am I glad to know you've got Ron on there right now. Every week I'm glad. When's he coming back? So here he is, ladies and gentlemen. He's back here with you. He's speaking on behalf of what's happening in the nation today. How to understand to get some ideas on what to do. There's Christy, and that's his wifey, and that's a new term, wifey, guys. And this is Frank and wifey, and she is such a special lady, an athlete, and she's getting much better. She had an accident. We prayed for her. You might remember. She's just coming back strong. And what a wonderful, special, godly couple they are. And we're blessed to have them with you tonight. So tonight we're going to give the round of applause and welcome Frank back in. And it's good to have you with us tonight, brother. And we've got a question for you as you come on. You know, he's going to be coming on with us right now. And as soon as you, yeah, Ron, imitate him for a minute, would you? There we go. Yeah. Let's look at. We got it covered. All right. Did
Uh-oh.
Call
Uh-oh.
security.
Yeah, we're having technical
call security.
Security. No protection.
Call security quick. Yeah.
Now start to talk about him while he's not here.
Yeah,
Come on,
he was
come on. We've lost Frank. We've lost Frank.
Yeah, he's going to talk tonight about, we're going to talk about the protections change. Oh my goodness, it's changed in the last few months and years, and what's happening in our nation, and the current needs that have affected all of us, how that fills in. You know, you may accidentally end up, I talked to my daughter today back in Ohio. She said, Dad, I accidentally ended up in a King's Welcome the King mob or group. She said, and there I was at the light, and I said, in the car, and they started looking at me, pointing, and I won't tell you the rest. But anyway, it's all around us. Everywhere we look today, things going on like this, and it's not too
Absolutely.
good. Hey, BBS Radio, are we still got TJ?
Just so people know, we're having some internet issues here in the state of Texas. A lot of outage in large areas. There he goes.
Wow.
Hey, there we go.
I
There we
still
go.
what's
There's Frank.
causing
Here we do it again.
Oh, we got
Hey,
Frank.
Frank.
We got Frank. We got Frank. He's good. He's
Welcome you
good.
again. We lost you, man.
He's
And
back.
ladies and gentlemen, the Dallas Cowboys won last night. He can report the score better than me, but what a win. And we're just excited for you, Frank, going from there. There it is. And go Cowboys. Go Pokes. Frank, we asked that first question we talked about, kind of protection agency has changed, and I know you're going to be speaking in Napa to a group. Maybe tell us a little bit about that this week, and share a little bit about you know, what you feel is happening this way in some of these steps.
Yeah, I was appreciate you guys having me on. It's always good to be back. Have a little fun. The Napa is going to be fun. I was invited. One of our board of directors at Black Rhino, Lieutenant General Michael Barbero, he sent out an email to some family offices that he consults with, and one of them jumped all over scheduling me to talk to some ultra high net worth families about protection. And the title of the talk is Understanding Protective Services: The Truth Behind Safeguarding Wealthy Families. And a lot of the things that I talk about are things that everybody asks me. If we were to sit down for lunch, imagine everybody here, if we all sat down, most of the questions that I answer in my speech would usually come up. But protecting wealthy families or even just protective services. Everybody automatically goes to Hollywood, thinks of dark suits, motorcades, and lots of drama. Me carrying out Whitney Houston, out of a scenario there. Sadly, life isn't the bodyguard, and not every trip to Starbucks requires a motorcade. The truth is far more nuanced. The environment is changing, and you have to change with it, or you're left behind. And threats are faster, more personal, and less predictable. And if you're responsible for your security, and you haven't seen that shift, or maybe you have, it's time to kind of look at what you're doing in public. It's evolved over the last over our history. Started, I guess, the first real big change was back at JFK. Obviously we know what happened to JFK, but federal protection, they change every time there's a tragedy. From that tragedy, they don't do any open air cars anymore, no convertibles. RFK, they don't let you walk through kitchens and corridors with presidents or former presidents. I think I've told you before, we augmented security at Ritz-Carlton for a Bush Clinton event. And when we did our advance with the Secret Service advance, our guys had to jump into closets and stairwells and all this other. One of them had to hop in the refrigerator. And the lead agent would come through and all the guys would hide. And then the last agent trailing would knock on the doors and let everybody come back out. And then, of course, Reagan, when he was shot walking out to the car. So now they don't do anything but covered pickup drop-offs, because even in private sector, the most vulnerable spot in any protection detail is a pickup drop-off. In fact, I earned a spot on a team where we tried out a driver one time, and we had a family that had a direct threat, and I had done my advance, and I hit the new driver on the radio, gave him a 5 minute and a 2 minute notice, and he left us hanging on the curb for 2.5 minutes, and his family had a direct threat. So obviously he did not make the cut. And we can see him sitting there at two lights. He had been stuck behind two red lights down the street. And he was a former law enforcement, and he was responsible for driving. That's what he did every day. And it just shows that just law enforcement doesn't equal protection. In fact, the guys that I worked with most of my career, they were regular highway patrolmen or police officers, but when they went to the dignitary protection side, they had to go to a separate academy for a while just to learn all the stuff. And after each tragedy, protocols and strategies have to change. And they, private families, anybody that wants to take their security seriously, their families and their protection teams have to evolve the same way. There's more visibility. Sometimes families have more visibility than public figures nowadays. Look at some of the speakers that have been attacked lately, or some of the things that happen on just on the streets. And we have always done it this way is not a strategy anymore. And it won't happen to me, so I don't need security is a huge mistake. So those are kind of you just have to adjust. I mean, I see every week people on LinkedIn and our protection groups and security groups armchair quarterbacking any incidents that's happened, up with these grand plans about having snipers and all this kind of stuff, but that's just not reality. You're not going to have a private security sniper somewhere. Well, yeah, I mean, we'd bring you on as a sniper, yeah. It's you battle in private security between the budget and what the family wants to pay, and then what the experience the family wants. And a lot of time, that's the difference between a Volkswagen Bug and a Aston Martin. They want Aston Martin, but they want to pay for the Bug.
Right.
Come up with different scenarios to be able to still put something together for anyone, and that includes everybody here. I mean, if Stephanie, you and Craig wanted to go to dinner and you didn't want to drive, most people don't know that if you were to call us and say, "Hey, Frank, how much is a driver take us to dinner that'll watch over us while we're at dinner?" It's half the price of going to hire a limousine in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. $79 an hour is approximately the going rate for a limousine, an SUV in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and we're $90. And you get a trained security driver that'll be there. He'll go inside, he'll eat at the bar, pay in advance, make sure he's checked you, and nobody knows you have security. But those are just people things that people don't understand and know. And you get a limo driver, he's going to either drive off and go do his own thing, come back in an hour and a half or two and sit there, or he's going to sit out in the parking lot and not sleep, not pay attention. So a lot has changed. And there's a lot of guys that advertise that they roll around and shoot AR-15s on the weekend and do these trainings and everything. And I'll tell you, because this is kind of the group to explain it to, and you'll understand why. I got a picture from somebody that did their training for their church detail. And they have 12 guys or 10 guys or something like that on the church detail. They took a picture in the area with the church Bible there, with the book, fancy bookmark and everything there. And they just did their training picture. And they're all in camouflage. They have long magazines for the AR-15s. They got the little body cams. They got this whole everything going on. And they're standing there like they're, like a militia or something like that. And then he sends the picture out like that's okay.
Not a good idea.
None of the agencies, Secret Service, DSS, the California Dignitary Protection teams that I've worked on, we always worked out and trained in the shirts and the attire that we work in. Two, you're not carrying a rifle if you're a private security person. I don't care if you're an executive protection agent or whatever. I'm sure there's some state that allows it. We allow shotguns here in Texas, but people can walk around with a rifle, but private security can't carry a rifle, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but that's the rule. So we can have a shotgun, but if you're out there training, we have people out there that train with instruments and equipment that they can't use and would not be able to use. The detail. When you're at a church, when I've protected a guest pastors at a church here in Bedford, and when I'm there, I'm in my button-down 5'11" shirt, a lot like Paul's, and armed in jeans, and I'm up above, and the other guy's sitting in the seats behind the pastor, and another guy's on the side. We're dressed like normal people. I mean, you wouldn't know us from someone that works at the church, but. People want, and when the CEO goes on LinkedIn looking for security and they see these guys in pictures with their guns like this, all this kind of stuff, it really hurts the industry a little bit. And then they don't change the standards. And everyone thinks that when someone hires a protection agent or a protection team or wants protection, it's four guys in a diamond formation walking through, they're doing pushing people around, doing all this stuff. No. We had a family in North Dallas, and when they found out that they can go to dinner and only have the driver seen and have a complete security team around them for the entire night, monitoring and watching them and everything, they were flabbergasted. I mean, we're not going to have four guys invading our privacy, walking into the restaurant. We're security for so and so. We're going to come in, that kind of. No. So we have a security driver pick them up, take them to the restaurant. There's a male female agent inside the restaurant having dinner. And their job is to wait and see them in there in that situation. The driver's out with the car. This team is inside. They've already talked to the waiter. Waiter's going to give him a heads up when the bill comes, so that way he can radio the driver to be ready out front. And nobody in the restaurant knows that they're securing anybody. Nobody knows security is in that restaurant. And companies just don't offer that kind of stuff. They don't train for that stuff, and they don't have people that are trained or have done that throughout their career. And the different levels of protection, it's got to be the experience that you want, because the minute I try to put somebody on, six guys on Ron and he wants to go to the mall, that's not the experience that he wants. He probably
No.
a couple of guys, somebody in the mall already. Well, he's coming in the exit over here, walking around, just keeping an eye on him. He comes in, leaves. He had two security people there, but nobody knows it. Neither did Ron. Well, he knows they're there, but they didn't know who they are. So that's kind of the state of the situation now. You got to be able to change with the environment. And unfortunately, you can tell from recent events that people are really, they really aren't adjusting to it.
So I have a question. Back to my one of the concerns I have is, we have a tendency to think of security with rich families, politicians, dignitaries. What are some of the simple stuff that everyday people should have in mind about their own security, outside of higher security?
Talk a lot in my situational awareness classes, because not everybody's going to pay $90 an hour to take a car to dinner and a concert and stuff like that.
Now,
So
what's situational awareness?
situational awareness is a head on a
Explain
swivel, paying attention,
it.
getting off your phone when you're walking down the street. We were in London with a fam I was in London with a family, and I meet with the and this is something anybody can do. You arrive at a hotel. Now, I do my pre-advance work, which is a little bit more detailed, but we stayed at an example, the Churchill Marriott in North London. And I'd researched the hotel. They had a gas leak or gas explosion at the hotel a few years back. I looked all around the place, all these little doors and all this stuff. I did my research. And so when I finally get to the hotel, I asked for the security director, which anybody can do. Say, hey, what's going on in the neighborhood? And what's the first thing they say? Well, there are people that are targeting Americans walking down the street on their phones, and they drive by in a scooter and swipe your phone and your purse. Another one that was going on that particular trip where two people or three people come up and say, hey, oh, it's my birthday. I'm drunk, all this stuff. And they start hugging and everybody. And one guy's just robbing you blind while the other two are hugging you, telling you happy birthday. So you can always do that. And when, if you do it right, when I sat with the security director and we walked, I told him, I need to look at these doors. What do these doors back here mean? What is this and this? And I noticed you have a bulletproof, what's this bulletproof glass up three stories? And I noticed last night when we got here at 10 o'clock, the barricades went up underneath the thing. And I looked at him, I go, was it really a gas leak that caused the explosion a few years back? And he just looked at me with that look like,
Yeah, wink, wink.
sort of.
They don't tell people it hurts. But the big thing is know what you're gonna do. If Craig and Stephanie like to just walk and get their steps in American hotels, you can walk the stairs all the way down from your room into the lobby, go have breakfast. This particular hotel, if I hadn't checked it out, and my boss, she'd like to get her 10,000 steps in, comes down the stairs, goes out the back door,
Oh.
out of there, it goes into the back alley and closes, and there's no door handle. That's why I wanted to know.
Locked.
Then
The
she's stuck in
problem.
the back alley. You can't get back in the front because they got the barricades, they got the bulletproof glass, all that stuff going on. So it's important. Those are things that anybody can do. It's just paying attention. If you see somebody following you at the mall, you get a funny feeling about somebody at the mall, pay attention. If you see them a second time, I don't believe in coincidences. Second time, possibly, but if you go to another place, a different store that's completely off the wall, Spencer's or something like that, where you wouldn't expect that person to go, or even you would go, and you see them a third time, you're in trouble. You got to find a police officer or somebody. You got to pay attention. North Dallas, we had people following families home from the grocery store, people from the grocery store, and getting them in the driveway. I think recently we had somebody in Dallas that was followed home from an ATM store, ATM,
ATM machine, yeah.
and got him in the driveway. Pulling into your driveway in your community or you're on your street, and if there's someone behind you, my wife and I do this all the time. Our community has a few to like three or four different ways, and if someone comes in the main entrance, I like to come in the main entrance. I like to see the fountains and stuff, so I come in the main entrance. And if someone's been behind me for a couple of miles and comes in the main entrance with me, I blow past my first turn. I'm going up to my second turn. If they're still behind me on my second turn, I go the last loop around, which would loop me around, which isn't really a turn, but I wait until they turn off and then go do my thing. And it doesn't. It's not. What are they? Someone asked me if it was paranoid. It's not, because
No.
there was a video recently though on Facebook where somebody pulled in their driveway and someone blocked them, and three guys got out with guns and were going to try to rob them. The guy backed up and backed into the car. I backed my car into the driveway and back into the garage. You just got to be aware. You have to have some imagination, and you can't be complacent. Those are the two keys for my job, and those are the two keys in situational awareness too. You got to pay attention a little bit. I wouldn't, if you're jogging, I wouldn't wear earphones where your music is blaring, you can't hear anything else. How many joggers in the last year or 2 years have been injured, attacked, killed, whatever, kidnapped? Wife likes to go run 5, 6, 7 miles at a time on purpose. I don't understand. Her music on, but it's not so loud that she can't see or hear anybody. And I got her pink mace that goes in her knuckles, and you always want to get the one that sprays 20 feet, not the one that mists because it's going to blow back at you if you do that. But
that Ruger or 6 hour?
Hmm?
A Ruger or 6 hour?
6 hours.
I'm sorry. You said spray. Regular spray. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Pepper spray. Yeah. Not the P320. Yeah. Pepper spray. and the gel will stick to their eyes and the stream. Right. You can get them from about 20 feet away. But okay. And I've talked about the 21-foot rule on the show before. The FBI does a thing every single year where they test the 21-foot rule. And I don't care how fast you are, and I thought I was pretty fast drawing my weapon. You cannot draw your weapon, aim and fire, and get off a decent round. You can't pull your knife in time. You can't do anything if someone makes the decision to come at you. And it's all a timing issue. The person who makes the decision first wins. It takes a good second for you to realize that somebody's, oh, wait, he's coming at me. And another second to go, oh, shoot, what do I do? You've lost 2 seconds, and the dude's already right here. So you need to make your decisions faster if someone gets that close that you don't know or you feel uncomfortable with. It's hard to do in elevators and certain other areas, but you really have to pay attention. It all comes down to paying attention, having a good imagination, because if you thought of it, if you're sitting in your elevator and you're thinking, oh, my God, somebody can get me and blah, 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 if I'm walking down the hall, it's always dark this time. The bad guys have already thought of that.
Somewhere thought of it. Yeah. Now, you mentioned the notorious cell phones. what would be your advice for people cell phones after you leave your house or car?
Well, if I start explaining this, I'm going to hear my wife in the background going, take your own advice. you gotta put your phone away when you're in public, if you can. And I'll give you a reason. I'll give you an example. I know the stories are long, so if we run short on time, just tell me to be quiet. or you can throw a flag. So I'm with the family in Tyler, Texas, and we're coming back from the ranch out there that they have. And we stopped at I call it cabbage patch, but it's actually cotton patch. But and they got seats before me. And so my back was at the door, which absolutely drives me nuts. So when we walk in, the girl at the front hostess stand took a good 45 seconds to look up from her, fixing her little chart thing before she realizes we're standing there. Right. So when she does that, then we walk over to the booth. I've already figured out everything because we had 45 seconds to figure it out, where the exits are, where, you know, all that kind of stuff. So we're sitting there and I'm sitting there, I'm looking back like this, and I keep looking back, and the family's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm timing out. If anything happens, how long we have to get out. Right. And I've convinced them, because they were security-minded, that we would give up, drop them off at the front. I'd take the car around as far away from the front as I can, back in, near an exit, near somewhere where we have an evacuation exit, and then we walk in. We give up the time on walking in to have the ease of the car being in a safe spot, and they're okay with that. Sometimes I'll drop them off, but in this case, there was a line, but I still was able to put the car where it's supposed to be. So I told them, it's a timing thing. See how long that lady took? She goes, yeah, it seemed like forever. Yeah, it's 45 seconds. By the time she recognizes somebody comes in with a gun, 45 seconds, yeah. Right? Probably 45 seconds. Now, everybody else, if you look around everywhere, everyone's looking at their phones, looking at their food, talking, having fun, eating, doing all this stuff. They're not paying any attention. Yeah. So now we're still at the timing again. So something happens up front. She screams. Everybody goes, oh my God, what's going on? Boom. Mm-hmm. Then they got to go, oh, where's it coming from? By that time, we are already moved around the little back of our booth, going out the side exit or the back kitchen exit, and two buttons on my car, it starts automatically. And we walk back, and the car is sitting there, backed in, ready to go. And if something happens, 90% of the people are going to the exit that they came into, because that's just human nature. So it doesn't take a lot to walk into a restaurant and say, oh, you know, okay, there's the kitchen. There's an exit back there because they got to bring in the food somewhere. And then they have the side exit over here. They got the to-go exit, to-go spot right here, and then the front door. Yeah. Just pick out your exit. As soon as you sit down, okay, if something happens, where are you going to go? I dated a girl in California, had a 9-year-old son, and we'd go to lunch, just he and I. and he'd lean in, and sometimes with his mother there, and he'd lean, "So where are we going if something happens?" And he would, and I would go, "Where do you think we'd go?" And he'd go, and he'd start pointing it out to me. He made it fun, so he knows that. But Christy's really good at that too. She'll see stuff, and we use mirrors. You always just look around. They got mirrors in the right. We had dinner at the Cheesecake Factory the other night, and Christy always takes the comfy seat, the bench seat, and I had to sit in the chair. So my back is to the door. I didn't complain too much. And but then right behind it, there's a whole mirror all the way down that row where all those other tables are along the bench. So I had a perfect vision of everybody without having to turn around. So you use that stuff to your advantage. But it's just, again, having imagination and paying attention.
Well, I'm sorry, I don't mean to hog the time here. But I that brings back to mind one of the criticisms for the young lady that was slashed on the train. I saw multiple folks complain that no one did anything. They just sat there. And you're trying to explain to them, they were completely unaware of their environment. Almost every single person was looking at their phone. It was a multiple seconds before they even realized. And quite frankly, she didn't realize what happened. And if you watch the video, she's on her phone. It takes her a second before she even realizes what's going on.
Yeah, the look on her face was like, "What's going on?"
Right.
Figured out.
And everyone else is, and it's, I mean, it's one of my pet peeves because everywhere I go, it's everybody's looking at their phones. And I'm going, someone walks in with a gun, an explosion takes place, whatever the deal is, they're just clueless, absolutely clueless. And on top of the people I've nearly hit to a number of times, stepping off a curb or walking out of a restaurant in the parking lot as if they're in the, it drives me crazy.
Won't know if someone's following you until it's too late. If you're texting and driving, you're even talking on a phone while you're
You
driving,
don't.
you don't pay attention.
No.
I mean, it sounds weird, but if you same car is behind you for a long period of time, I mean,
Yeah.
it's worth it at the end
Yes.
to be able to do it. I mean, we have that problem with the wealthy client of the CEO that was shot and killed in New York. Apparently didn't want to have security with him, but
Right.
this company $21 billion in market share because they didn't want to spend 300 grand to have three guys take him to New York City, the most unsafe city, one of the most
Wow.
unsafe cities in the country.
Yeah.
And the people that I've worked for, the CEOs and everything, the security is mandated by the board of directors
Okay, good. Right,
and the
good.
CFO, but some CEOs don't want it. I mean, Marissa Mayer from Yahoo, it was mandated. When she had a threat, I got called in, but I don't know that she particularly cared to have security around, because when I'm sitting out front of her house, she has a threat. She wants to go walk with her newborn baby and her husband, and I'm trailing her, and I'm walking behind her. Now I look like a weird following around the neighborhood, but that's the job, right? So, it's at all levels. I mean, from just a family here in Dallas. I mean, I used to get texts from the boss and say, "She left early to get to the grocery store early. Can you go take care of her?" Sure.
We got some texts that I have read. Have you ever thought about putting out a pamphlet or something just for you for moms and dads and families using the things you've shared with us that we could, they could procure for, pretty easy price, and that could give some of these things using no name examples, but giving them something to make it a reality check, something
Sure.
right in front of them. Has
That's a good
anybody ever
idea.
that?
Good
Yeah, we
idea.
do
What do they call those? Ebook thing?
That'd be
That'd be
great. So,
good. That'd be
Frank,
good.
I was just asking Craig because on one of the shows you shared about how to check your hotel room, he got a couple of those and he's completely obsessed with them. Everywhere we go, he's like wanding, and then our sons are wanding. It's hilarious.
Bought a 5-pack so I can give them to all my family.
That's all.
So that's fun.
They're really cool,
It is fun.
actually.
They are.
You can find modems and all that stuff pretty quickly.
We're starting to put cameras in our rooms when we leave the rooms, so that we can access the access the room and see it triggers if somebody, the cleaning lady, the housekeeping comes in to do their thing. If they get into the, it's pointed at the area where a laptop and the backpack is in the closet and all that stuff. So you kind of keep an eye on that stuff because, man, people are, well, we, I mean, look at the Louvre. I mean, probably one of the most secure places.
Yeah,
And
right.
they went in there, those guys, in my opinion, went in there acting like they were supposed to be there and put a truck there with a big old ladder. When I heard it was a ladder left there, I thought, okay, a 6 foot ladder, they snuck in something. It was a truck.
No,
Pulled a
they
truck out
still.
of the building and put a big old thing
That had to be an inside job. Yeah.
up. That's what I was saying to my family, because somebody inside, I mean, that place is so secure. I can't believe that they didn't know that they weren't supposed to be there because there's cameras. Somebody's watching those cameras. And wait a minute, why is there a ladder going up there? No one's supposed to be here this morning. Somebody had to be blocking those, Ocean's
Yeah.
11, blocking the cameras out somewhere down the street or something like that. But
Absolutely.
it's crazy.
Absolutely.
And then they leave it there. I mean, that's crazy. I don't get it. But that's, you can walk into places, dress the part, walk into places, and they will give you access because you're acting like you, because those security guards, they make $15 an hour, $14 an hour, $20 an hour if they're highly paid or unarmed. You walk in like you belong there. You're in a suit and tie and everything. You go into the that kind of stuff. Wait, excuse me, sir. You're not. No, you look like you belong in there, and you can walk right in. And it's a complacency thing.
Well,
It's
one of the things that happened with me, I told you I wasn't a sports fan, but one of the things we went to was a Dallas Cowboy football game when they played the New Orleans Saints. And my nephew informed me that a few people got fired that day, primarily because we were in the stand. Somehow he got hurt. I missed him taking him off the field. I wanted to go and check on him. And just asking people, the EMTs in the hallway who pointed me to the downstairs because it wasn't there on the other side, to another office somewhere. It's one of those things where I acted as if I knew where I was going and who I was wanting to see. They took me all the way down to the entrance to the locker room. And a 6-8 foot tree walked over. He's the only person that said, "Why are you here?" Had somebody take me upstairs, and I later at the family gathering, my nephew wanted to know how I got there and what was I doing. He said, "Man, you got a couple people fired today." And it's like you said, it's like as long as I was acting as if I belong there and I knew where I was going, they just kind of kept pointing me to the other person. It boggled my brain, and I didn't think about it until he told me. And then, of course, I go back trying to figure out who the young lady was. A couple of people, they wouldn't let me know who they were, and I wanted to apologize. They didn't care. Unfortunately.
A few years ago, I was advancing the state fair, and the security guards out at the street, they had blockades going into the VIP lot where we had, right? And so I whipped around the security lady, went around into the thing, and she comes running after me. I roll the window down, and my dog goes over and starts saying, "Oh," and the dog distracted her completely. And at the end of the 5 minute conversation, she's giving me her cell number. "When you show up tomorrow, just text me and I'll move the blockade." You generate a distraction too. You can do that too. Because I wasn't supposed to go through there unless she moved that barricade, but I went around it and I could have been a bad guy and gotten all the way in there to that VIP entrance where you
Wow.
park right there and they don't even wand you at
Right.
that particular entrance.
Wow.
And you just go right in and you're right in the middle of everything.
Yeah, the cute little dog. Oh, the cute dog.
Yes.
Dogs and babies.
Yeah.
We had a situation in the operating room where long hallway and three doors that go into the operating rooms. I'm walking one way and this guy's walking the other, and I'm like, well, luckily I was like just around the corner from the front desk. I go, "Who was that guy?" And I go, "Whoa, what guy?" So I go back and I go, "Excuse me, but who are you?" "No ID, no nothing, scrubs. Look like you belonged, but you didn't because you didn't recognize him. Along with the orthopedic, total joint company that's they're using in this room." I'm like, ever since they said we need to get ID, they have to check in, all this stuff, so we know who's roaming around.
There are times I'm really amazed at time how lax some security is, and places I go. I quite often actually. As you said, if you smile, act as if you belong there, they get really, really relaxed. They really do.
It's really helpful.
It's frightening at times. Say it
Yeah.
again.
It's really, really nice to have that when you're an advanced guy, when you're trying to plot your how you're flying through. But if you're a bad guy, you don't want the security guard doing that.
No.
And gated
No.
communities is another bad thing. I mean, the family we had in North Dallas, they had security there, uniform security. You had to stop at the gate. But my first day there, I talked myself in. I said, oh, I'm going to that Ohio
Wow.
over there. There's certain gated communities up there that will take your driver's license, and then some will call. But if you time it right, or you have any surveillance on the security gate at all, there was one security guard that every time she had to use the restroom inside the guard shack, she left the gate wide open. You go right in. She wouldn't even know that you're in the community.
We lived in the community that Gavin Newsom, or by it, that he ended up moving to during COVID. And we know a lot of people that live in that. It's a golf course, high-end community. And so say at the gate, I would just say whatever house I'm going to. I'm not even going to that house half the time, but I know friends. And they just write down your name and no actual check. Just let me in. Off I go.
Uber, I'm an Uber driver,
Oh.
stuff like that. It's crazy.
Wow.
Wow. Well,
Oh,
I
gracious.
get to thinking about all these things, and you wonder. I think about kids even in school, Frank. I mean, some of the things that they bullying. I think of sometimes gangs. They don't call them gangs. They just do their own thing. But I've heard some stories that have come back to us, and they worry about that. They were even anxious to hear some of the things you shared tonight, which will help them to teach their kids because they're going into schools and they're being followed. And they're rolled, as the old saying is. Somebody's waiting for them, and that's all part and parcel of that 20 foot. I goofed. I thought it was 27 feet, but I'm slower, so
A little extra margin.
a little extra margin there.
Yards for you,
Yeah,
Joe.
that's it. I need a little margin. Yeah, every year I can use 3 more feet or so. Anyway, hey, just take a second here tonight, folks, and ask Steph if she would. We're so glad you're with us tonight. It's great to hear Frank each time. And Steph, could you share just a word to the folks about helping us?
Time goes by way too fast on this show, first of all.
Way too
But
fast. Way too
if you
fast.
head over to our website, that's kind of the one-stop shop. It's bbsradio.com/raising expectations. There's all kinds of goodies on there. But what I want to highlight tonight is just the fancy ways that you can donate to us. That yellow button, if you notice, that's what Amazon uses, that little yellowish orange. You buy more with that color. Did you know that? So you can donate right there with PayPal. There's also a fancy QR code for Venmo if you want. And when you scroll down a little bit, there's even snail mail way. If you want to contact Pastor Joe directly and donate, we appreciate it. Everything that you give goes directly back to the show. It helps us be on the air. So we really appreciate that. You can find prior shows. You can connect with us as hosts on here. All kinds of goodies. There's Pastor Joe's book. There's Craig's book. So a wealth of information there if you need it, but also share the show, continue to hang out with us. That also goes a long way and it doesn't cost anything.
Amen. Thank you, Steph. And thanks, folks, for praying about that. We really, really appreciate your help. It means a lot to us. Hey, Frank, we're looking at the time here. If you could give them one key thing, like moms, dads, people that you deal with, families, corporations, I know it's conclusive, but maybe one key thought, like you share with us that they could take with them tonight. And folks, write it down now. I know you've been taking notes. A lot of you share that with me. Maybe one of the most important key thing that you would tell them, and just simple, whatever it is, just give them something to remember.
I think it's as simple as just paying attention. I mean,
Amen.
being aware of your surroundings. I've given tips, for instance, at gas stations, especially in the evenings, or if you're a female, park at the pump facing the opposite direction, because if something happens, there's going to be a traffic jam in front of that convenience store and that gas station. But you can get to your car, even if you have to go around and still get out without having it. Try to put yourself in positions. It's a lot like playing golf. Put yourself in the next position to make the next shot easier. Same thing. Go to the gas station to make yourself safer. Go to a restaurant to make yourself safer. Just pay attention. I mean, that's the biggest thing. I mean, watch your rearview mirror. When you're pumping gas, don't get back into your car. or keep an eye on your car, keep the passenger side. I think most vehicles nowadays, the newer ones, when you all the doors are locked and you get out the driver's side, all of the others still stay locked if the car's on. But if you turn it off, then they all unlock. So lock them and keep your passenger door open if you need to. But you need to pay attention wherever you're going, grocery stores, people walking around that don't have a basket or a hand thing or a cart. What are they there for? Especially if you see them multiple times going up and down the aisles and they're dressed differently. You know, just pay attention.
Amen. That's a good one. Pay attention. That's a key word. Hey, Frank, we want to pray for you. And Paul, could you just sure. ask God to bless him? He's going to speak sure. up here for the next 3 or 4 days here. And just
maybe gotcha. Be happy to. Father, thank you for your love, your grace, your presence with us. One, thank you for Frank, his wife, Christy. And I pray that you give him safe journeys to California and things will go well and be able to get back home as well. Lord, help us to be mindful that we need to be mindful and aware. And in that awareness, Father, help us to also seize those opportunities to share these things with other people. Thank you for that. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
All right, Frank, thanks for being here. And it's great to have you with us. We'll be praying for you. And let us know. Keep me posted. It's exciting to see what happens. Ron, it's good to see you. Good to see you tonight. And exactly. Yeah. If you ever need any help, you just call Ron. He'll be there. He'll be there in a heartbeat for you, Frank. So, Jeff, good to see
and we'll,
you.
Guys. And we'll look forward to the ebook this year, right?
Yeah.
That's good. Ebook would be great.
Ebook, and then we'll do a road to the Super Bowl for the Cowboys too.
Okay, that's it. There we go. We'll give a bonus. The first 5,000 people get your ebook. Well, then we'll give them a pass to the Rose Bowl. There you go, and a Rose Bowl. All right, Paul. Good to see you, brother. All right.
Yeah, it was great.
There you go. All right, thanks, ladies and gentlemen. God bless you. God keep you. God help you to be aware of what's around you and be aware of who lives within you, because he'll illuminate what's around you. And like Frank said, put the things and call them to your heart that he showed you tonight. It'll only help your husbands and wives, your kids, your children, your neighbors, everybody. Just be aware. Yeah. God bless and keep you. Good to see you guys.
Thank you, guys.
God bless you guys. Thank you. God bless you.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556. Or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.